You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. It is Tuesday, March 2nd, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I am your host, Connor Newcomb, and on today's episode, we are going to take a look back at the spring training game from yesterday, because of course it was televised this time, as we did have to watch on NBC Sports Philadelphia, if you have MLB TV or other means, as I watched it, but it was a good chance to get a look at some Orioles. Obviously, only a seven-inning game against the Phillies ended in a 4-4 tie, but it was nice to see the O's on TV. And savor that one up, because unless we get some Masson games here at some point, the next TV game will be Sunday, it looks like, for the Orioles. This was the only televised game from either Masson or the opposing team's TV network in the first week of spring training games. And the Orioles do play 6 days this week, so a little disappointing there. But we did get to see some good stuff. So on today's episode, I'll give my three big takeaways from the spring training game. Of course, the result doesn't really matter. You're looking more at individual performances. And of course, you know, this is just day two of games. This is March 1st. We are still a month away from opening day when this game was played. And so, you know, you take a lot of it with a grain of salt, but still three things that I came away with from watching all seven innings of this one. And then a little bit later, we are going to be joined by Ryan Posner. He is the media relations director and the broadcaster for the Sugar Land Skeeters. They are currently the AAA affiliate of the Houston Astros, but prior to this year, they were an independent league team in the Atlantic League. And he is going to join us to talk about Connor Wade. Wade, a right-handed pitcher whom the Orioles signed to a minor league contract this offseason. Now, Wade has not pitched in either spring training game so far, but he is in camp, and we would expect to see him at some point as he tries to compete for a spot with the Orioles, or at the very least with the AAA Norfolk Tides. So we'll talk about that in segment two with Ryan Posner, and then we'll finish up some things and look ahead to the rest of the week to finish off the pod here. But we start with spring training game two, Orioles and Phillies tie 4-4. And the three big takeaways from the game: number one, you got to start with DJ Stewart, and he looked like red hot DJ Stewart that we saw for a few weeks last season. He comes up in the first inning, hitting second in the lineup after an Austin Hayes single. Got a shout out to Austin Hayes. He did go 2-for-2 with a couple of hard hit balls. But Stewart comes up with Austin Hayes on and nobody out against Aaron Nola. You know, this wasn't just some, you know, minor league spring training pitcher. This was Aaron Nola, the ace of the Philly staff and an all-star right-hander in the National League. And Stewart gets a breaking ball, stays with it, and powers one over the fence in right field for a two-run homer. He made a nice catch in right field. It wasn't the prettiest thing, but he made the catch. And then his second time up, he ripped a laser into right field, and Matt Joyce actually made an incredible diving catch to rob Stewart of extra bases in DJ's second at-bat. He ended up grounding out, or would have been a ground out, but reached on an error in his third at-bat, actually a run scored on the play. So he finished with a 1-for-3, but he hit the ball hard, and he was given the RBI on that error. So he ended up with the home run and three RBIs, drove in three of the Orioles' four runs, and the swing looked really good. He was on the ball. There was not a whole lot of bad swing and misses. Those are the things you kind of see when you know it's not going to be a good day for DJ Stewart. And obviously a lot of camp left, but he is not a roster lock. He is definitely on the roster bubble for the Orioles. And this is a good sign for DJ Stewart to have a day like this, especially against a pitcher like Aaron Nola. Second takeaway for me from the day, that the second and third one will have to do with pitching. We saw in the day six different pitchers for the Orioles. And, you know, my first takeaway of pitchers is that Evan Phillips looked really, really good. Now, we know how Phillips has struggled since coming over from the Braves as one of the pieces in the Kevin Gausman trade back at the deadline in 2018. And we've talked about Phillips a good amount in this podcast because he's gotten some good chances with the Orioles so far in his career. You know, he's pitched in 18, 19, and 20 in the big leagues with Baltimore, and we just, you know, continue to kind of wait for Phillips to potentially figure it out. Now, we've talked on this pod before about how good his slider movement is. He's got one of the biggest sweeping sliders in baseball. He showed off everything today in his one inning of work. He worked a scoreless inning, no hits, no runs, two strikeouts. He did walk a batter, but got two Ks in the inning. And the big thing that helped Phillips, you know, he's always been a fastball that's going to play, you know, in the mid-90s, 93 to 95. And then we knew about that slider. You know, it's got some of the biggest break in all of baseball for right-handed pitchers, and that's been kind of his put-away pitch. He was able to throw it for strikes and throw it for swing and misses, but the big thing for Phillips is he has had a changeup in his career, but he doesn't really throw it a lot. He threw it only 7% of the time back in 2020. It really hasn't been a pitch that, frankly, he has used much at all in his career. It's kind of been in his repertoire, but he rarely uses it. Threw it 7% of the time in 2020, 8% of the time in 2019. Threw it a little more in 18. He was up at 18% of the time that year as well. But it looks like he went into the offseason and worked on all of his stuff, but especially that changeup. He threw a dynamite changeup on a 3-2 pitch to strike out Brad Miller that made Miller, you know, a consistent veteran hitter, look really silly at the plate, running away from the lefty. And Phillips, you know, he did walk a guy, but threw more strikes than we're used to. That breaking ball was crisp. The fastball looked pretty good. And the command of that changeup was good, and the break on that changeup was ridiculous. Looked like a split change. I was really impressed with Evan Phillips. Obviously, it's an uphill battle for him because he was DFA'd and outrighted off the 40-man this offseason. He cleared waivers, stayed in the organization, and he comes up to camp as a non-roster invite. You know, he's not on the 40-man. He's just a guy who is in the Orioles system at the moment. And, you know, all signs would point to him probably being in Norfolk to start the season. But if he keeps throwing like this, he's going to find his way into the big league bullpen. And I'm not even saying, you know, at some point in 2021. I'm talking on opening day if he continues to throw like this. And then the final takeaway, you know, was really not much of a takeaway, but we got to see the Orioles' two Rule 5 picks, both right-handed pitchers Max Soroller and Tyler Wells. Soroller threw a scoreless sixth, and Wells threw a scoreless seventh to finish off the game for the Orioles. Soroller definitely kind of struggled with the command. He gave up a hit. He walked two. He struck out one. He loaded the bases, but then got a big strikeout on a nice curveball he dropped into the zone to get out of the inning. Wells looked a little better, no hits, no runs in the inning, a strikeout, and a walk for the big 6'8" right-hander who basically hadn't pitched in 2 years. Wells looked like it was just a fastball and a big overhead curveball that he was throwing. Soroller was throwing in an okay changeup, but he really didn't have command of it. He was mostly fastball, curveball as well. And really, you know, neither of them impressed me a lot. It was nice that both of them put up a scoreless inning, but my takeaway is kind of, you know, neither of them even on one hand separated themselves from each other, as they're always going to be combined all spring training because of the two Rule 5 picks. And two, neither of them really separated from the rest of the pitchers, you know, all that bullpen roster crunch the Orioles have to do. And, you know, the difference with Soroller and Wells is you can't just put them in AAA if they don't make the team. They got to stay on the roster the whole year or they're going to be returned to their team, Soroller to the Reds and Wells to the Twins, where the Orioles got them from in the Rule 5 draft. So after one appearance, you're obviously going to see a lot more, but after one appearance, I would lean that neither of them will be on the opening day roster, and I think they'll both be returned. They have plenty of time to prove that wrong and play their way onto the roster, but you know, neither of them were bad at all, but neither of them were impressive enough where after one game I'm saying, let's look out for them, but I want to give them a shot to continue to maybe try and impress the Orioles coaching staffs, of course, much more importantly, throughout spring training. So that's where it stands in the televised game. Again, we'll really only break down the televised games this much here on the pod. We'll mention the other ones, but when I get to watch the games, obviously gonna be able to break them down a lot more. And again, the next one on TV, not until Sunday. But we are going to take a break right here. But we come back after the break, as I said, we're going to be joined by Ryan Posner. He is the media relations director and the play-by-play voice of the Sugarland Skeeters, formerly of Independent Baseball, where Connor Wade pitched in the 2018 and 2019 seasons. Wade turned those pretty good performances into a minor league deal with the Orioles this offseason for the 29-year-old right-handed pitcher. And so Ryan Posner is going to join us to talk about Connor Wade's career in Sugarland and what he could potentially bring to the Orioles. That comes up after this break. So we'll get to our conversation with Ryan in just a second, but first, got to tell you about rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers and phones with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And best of all, the prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And write "Locked On Orioles" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, so we welcome Ryan Posner into the podcast. He is the Director of Media Relations and the broadcaster for the Sugarland Skeeters. And Ryan, first of all, thank you so much for joining the pod.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I was a little taken back when I saw an Orioles podcast reaching out to me, but it makes all the sense in the world now. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, we're here on the pod. You know, many teams who are competing are talking about their big major league free agent signings. Here on this Orioles podcast, we are zeroing in on the minor league signings because, honestly, that is the biggest news we're getting this offseason. Not every player is Felix Hernandez that you bring in on a minor league deal. Not every player is Matt Harvey. Some are like Connor Wade, who we are going to talk about today. And we have you on because Wade pitched in the 2018 and 2019 seasons with the Sugarland Skeeters in the Atlantic League in independent baseball. So I obviously want to start in 2018, which is basically where he was a critical part of your guys' starting rotation for that entire season. ERA right around 3 through about 140 innings that year. So he comes for his first independent ball experience after, you know, being in double A with Colorado for a while. And, you know, what was kind of your first impression of him over his first few starts in 2018?
Yeah, 2018 was actually my first year with the team too. It was the first year with Pete and Gavilia, former Ranger, Philly. I think he even played with the Orioles maybe at one point. But so he brought in like an entirely new rotation of players, Connor being one of them. And, you know, I believe he actually started the year off. He was just kind of nursing a minor injury, and he made his first couple appearances in relief. And I was kind of surprised. I was like, oh, I thought, you know, looking at his numbers with the Rockies and their system and Arizona, I'm like, he's going to be a starter. Sure enough, you know, a couple, you know, outings and he ended up becoming one of our, you said, our really most reliable starters. But, you know, the first couple outings, one thing I noticed with him is he's got a very calm demeanor, the kind of, you know, I guess makeup you'd want out of a pitcher. You know, he's not going to let the moment get too big for him. He's very calm, but also fiery too. Like, I mean, he's a really quiet guy, but I mean, hey, like if he thought an umpire missed a call or he wanted to get on about something, he was quick to do it too. And just the other thing I noticed right away too is he just pounds the zone. A lot of strikes, not barely any walks. I mean, he's a strike thrower. He's kind of the antithesis of a lot of pitchers today who are going to try to light up the radar gun. He's more of like a Kyle Hendricks, Kyle Davies kind of pitcher where he's just going to really work in the strike zone a lot, make you get yourself out.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going to ask next. You know, he threw 136 and two-thirds innings, a 3.10 ERA in 2018, but just over 5 strikeouts per 9. You look at all of his numbers in college at Arizona, throughout the Colorado Rockies system, with you guys, in the Boston system as well. Never a strikeout pitcher, never many more than about 6 Ks per 9. So you kind of touched on it a bit, but, you know, we expect so many pitchers that are, especially guys getting signed out of independent ball, to be kind of, you know, hidden gems who all of a sudden start throwing 98 and they're striking everybody out. And that's why they get signed. What makes him different, but still able to get guys out at such a high rate he did?
Well, first off, he has an incredibly good changeup. He, even though he's not going to light up, you know, he's not going to throw 97, 98, his change of speed, keeping hitters off balance, and his cutter as well has a lot of great movement on it. But yeah, you hit the nail on the head. And you know what's interesting too is a lot of independent players that, you know, we've seen in my time here, close to 30 players have gotten selected back to the major league level. And a lot of them are guys like Connor Wade. We had another guy tonight on those teams named Dallas Buehler. You know, didn't strike out a lot of guys, just pounded the zone. And those guys actually tended to go get picked up at a higher rate because teams, you know, they knew what they were getting. They're a little more of a polished player. I think one of the nice things too is, you know, if Connor ends up starting the year in the minor leagues, that is some really good depth to have at a minor league pitching level, because if a guy, you know, a starter, God forbid, goes down a reliever, you know, you're not bringing up a project, you know, that you're hoping, you know, a guy like might come in and walk three in a row. That's not him. He's going to come in and throw strikes. He's going to work around the zone. You know, we had a pitcher named Chase DeYoung as well, and he actually got picked up by the Astros and pitched for them last season. And Dusty Baker, you know, immediately said, like, this guy, like, I didn't even know his name until he pitched for me today, but I can trust him just because I know he's, you know, he works around the zone. So that's something I know, you know, just from my experience, managers and staffs will look for that. And Connor Wade provides that in spades.
Yeah, obviously he's going to be much different than a lot of the pitchers, you know, the young guys the Orioles will have in camp. He's 29 years old. He's been around the block, a seventh round pick of the Rockies back in 2013 out of Arizona. You know, he had a really good college career. He was with the Rockies for years, but he kind of stalled out in Double-A with the Rockies in Hartford and really didn't have a lot of success in Double-A. And that's what kind of led him to independent baseball in 2018. Now, obviously he had a very good 2018 season, but were there any, you know, kind of on the flip side of what we've been talking about, were there limitations that you saw that you kind of, you know, maybe saw why he had those struggles in Double-A ball, in affiliated ball? And you know, did he kind of work on that to get better as his time with Sugarland progressed?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword. I could see, you know, a guy that doesn't maybe have a put-away pitch. You mentioned the strikeouts per nine innings as far as a put-away pitch in strikeout terms. You know, sometimes that can come back to hurt you, I'm sure. I mean, I've seen it plenty out here. You know, guys, especially when you get to that double-A level, you're starting to get players that are pretty polished. You know, they're still prospects, but they're kind of rounding the corner getting ready to either go to the big leagues or not. So, you know, they're more likely to kind of work counts, drag it out. So I can kind of see that. And I don't know much about, I know he played in Hartford, so I don't know much about the park in Hartford, if it's a hitter friendly park or not. But yeah, he is definitely one of the older guys. And, you know, the kind of interesting thing about him too, is he's kind of like a premium indie ball player. And what I mean by that is that, you know, you get a lot of guys who this maybe is their fourth, fifth year in indie ball. They're really dragging it out. Guys like him who, you know, their six-year minor league deal just expired and you get them on their first year in indie ball. Like, we had a couple of those guys in 2018, Connor included. And I mean, that's tough to come by. A lot of guys, you know, they might not opt to play indie ball. They might kind of wait it out, try to get back a big league team. Those guys are tough to come by. And he came in and did a really great job.
Yeah. And so he has a great 2018 season. It wasn't quite enough to get him that, you know, minor league deal heading into spring training in 2019. So he comes back to Sugarland and he makes about five starts and, you know, he's pretty much just as good as he was in 18. And finally he gets that deal. You know, the Red Sox end up signing him to a minor league contract early in that season. You know, for people that work in minor league baseball, you're obviously always cheering for guys to get promoted because, you know, they're staying in your organization. They're getting closer and closer to the majors. What's that kind of feeling like, you know, with people in independent baseball, knowing that, like, this is great for that player, but, like, we're going to be so far, you know, away from him now. Like, he's not in the same organization. He's just gone and on to better things at the snap of a finger at any point during the season.
Yeah, it's a pretty weird dynamic. I mean, you touched on it there. You don't want to see them go, like, but you also want them to get back to where they, you know, to the affiliated level. Connor especially, you know, man, because he spent the entire year with us in 2018. Just a really personable, likable guy. Got to know him pretty well. And to be honest, I was pretty shocked when Pete called me and said he's coming back for 2019 because I thought for sure we'd lose him to an affiliated team. And I was like, man, he was one of those guys. Like, there's a couple guys on each roster. Like, each year I kind of circled those guys. I would be like, yeah, he's probably not going to be here for very long. Like, I think we had Paco Rodriguez the first year I was here. And he made, like, one appearance and he was gone. But and then Connor had come back. I mean, just absolutely lights out. It was almost a rollover effect too. We had a playoff series in our championship series the year prior in 2018. We hadn't had a player throw a complete game all year long. And in game, I want to say it was game one of the best of five series, Connor threw a complete game shutout, struck out 11, which was our season high in strikeouts and our season high innings pitched. And, like, I mean, he wasn't really our ace, you know, quote unquote, all year long. There was another guy, like I mentioned, Dallas Buehler, kind of served that role. But, like, you were like, oh, wow. Like, he's got the ability to just absolutely take over and dominate a game. That's why I was so surprised he came back. And, you know, when I got the news, though, I was ecstatic for him. I was super pumped because, you know, he is getting closer to 30, which I know is a critical age in baseball. So, you know, you only get so many chances. I remember texting him right away. say how pumped I was for him. And he's one of those guys too. Like I made sure to follow with the Red Sox. And when I heard, I hadn't even heard the news he signed with the Orioles. So when you reached out to me, I was kind of that feeling again where I was like, yes, man, he's getting another shot. Definitely he's got a root for it. And I'm sure he's going to be an asset in that clubhouse at AAA for the Orioles too. You know, being a guy that's been around for a bit, has had to go play an indie ball for a little while too. I'm sure he'll be an asset to some of the younger guys in that clubhouse, especially the pitchers.
Yeah, you know, the expectation is definitely he'll start the year in AAA. He is in big league camp as a non-roster invitee. So, you know, starting next week, we'll get a look at him to see, you know, how he fares against some major league hitters. But, you know, you mentioned Boston. He gets signed by the Red Sox. He goes to AA Portland. He's in their rotation, and he pitches spectacularly, honestly. He makes 13 starts. He has a 2.74 ERA. They send him up right at the end of 2019 for a AAA start where he gives up one run over five innings. And, you know, I know there wasn't a minor league season in 2020, but with the pitching struggles and the injuries the Red Sox had, you know, kind of looking to see that they decided not to bring him back again this year, I was a little surprised. So good on the Orioles for going to pick him up. And so, you know, we know he's going to have, to be honest, a really good spring training to make this team out on opening day. He has got a much better shot of, you know, being a midseason call-up, whether it be injuries or guys struggling. But, you know, for him, starting with spring training, you know, he'll start to get pitching in games next week. From seeing him for a year plus, what do you think is kind of the best case scenario for him and the Orioles, even if he does start the year at AAA Norfolk?
Yeah, I mean, best case scenario for him is I could just see him being a guy, you know, situation arises where, hey, like we need someone to come make a spot start, or we have, you know, someone's going to miss two starts with a minor injury. And he comes in and he just, you know, he proves he's a reliable asset, which he's done his entire career, a strike thrower, a guy who can eat some innings too, which, I mean, that in itself is its own asset. And I could see him kind of being a guy, you know, that either just solidifies if he's able to, you know, impress the Orioles brass enough, or I could see him being a guy, you know, he's that first call-up they make on their, you know, quote-unquote taxi squad when they need somebody to come up and eat some innings that they know that they can trust and get some outs. Or, you know, because he is such a, you know, he's such a great strike thrower and he works in the zone, I could also see him being like a swingman, you know, where they have every bullpen needs one of those guys where, you know, the things are sideways early, you got to bring someone in to come in and eat those innings. But, you know, I know just given where the Orioles are, I can't say I know too much about their current roster structure, but just knowing where they're probably going to be this year in the standings, I can absolutely see them, you know, needing a guy to come in, someone a little more proven, a little more polished, and then maybe not one of their prospects to come in and really eat some innings and be reliable, a pitching member for them.
Yeah, it's all about depth, and Connor Wade, definitely a depth move for the Orioles. And again, you know, expect him to be in AAA Norfolk, but you know, if he continues to get guys out, and again, he's not going to light up the radar gun, he's not going to strike a whole bunch of guys out, but at some point, if hitters are not getting hits against him and not getting on base, you're kind of forced to give him that chance at some point. And obviously, you know, we hope maybe we get to see him at the big leagues this year. But Ryan, thank you so much for joining the podcast. We're happy that things are safer and looking better down there for you in Texas. And, you know, obviously a different season coming up for you as well in Sugarland with the Skeeters going from independent right to AAA baseball. So those call-ups are going to be directly to the major leagues when you lose a player starting this year. But hope that works out well for you guys now in affiliated baseball. And thanks again for joining the pod.
Absolutely, man. We're super excited out here to be with the Astros now. And I'm looking forward to seeing Connor, how he does this year. I appreciate you having me on to talk about him.
So we'll get to some more Orioles talk in just a second, but first got to tell you about betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Now, we're still waiting for the baseball to count, about a month away, and, you know, football season is over, but it is March. That means March Madness, college basketball heating up, and we also got the NBA and the NHL in full swing. And even BetOnline covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. It's got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus when you use the promo code LOCKEDON with your first deposit over at BetOnline.ag. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. That's at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So our thanks again to Ryan Posner, the media relations coordinator and the play-by-play voice of the Sugar Land Skeeters, again, formerly of the Atlantic League in independent baseball. But of course, as we mentioned at the end there, they are now the AAA affiliate of the Houston Astros. So congrats to them for getting into minor league baseball. And his job will be a little different. He'll get guys very close to the majors that he will be working with in 2021 and beyond down there in Sugarland. But for Connor Wade, you know, 29 years old, we talk about it, 6'3", right-hander, and we'll see what kind of chance he might have. You know, we mentioned it, he had the good starts in Sugarland, and then he had those incredible numbers in the Red Sox system at Double-A, 95 and a third innings, a 2.74 ERA, 64 Ks to just 13 walks in that 2019 season at Double-A, and then he came up and got one Triple-A start in Paul Tuckett and gave up a run over five innings of work right at the end of the 2019 season in the International League, and of course got a chance to face off against the Tides as well, so he'll know the names of some of the guys he will be in camp with. Again, we haven't seen him pitch in the first two spring training games. Hopefully he'll get in there at some point this week, and we'll get to see what Connor Wade's got. This is actually the second time that the Orioles have acquired Connor Wade. They actually traded for him all the way back in 2017. Actually, in November of 2017, they acquired him from the Rockies for international bonus slots. Of course, a fixture of the Dan Duquette era was giving up on those international signing bonus slot money and getting, you know, minor league arms and lesser known guys. And they did acquire Connor Wade. He was in spring training in 2018 for a little bit with the Orioles, but did not make the team and was not in the organization, and that is when he decided to go to independent ball for that 2018 season and pitch very well with that Sugarland rotation in that 18 season. So we'll see what he can do back in affiliated baseball here in 2021. And just another guy to kind of throw into the ring here in spring training, trying to get some innings and get onto that big league roster. But before we go, I want to tell you about two podcasts here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And first up, of course, we've got you covered with everything Orioles here on the Locked On Orioles podcast. But, you know, how about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're looking for more MLB-centric podcasts, of course, on this pod, we talk a lot about prospects and the Orioles system being in the top 10 now, but what about prospects across baseball if you're a fan of minor league baseball and the guys who are coming next to the major leagues? And if you're that type of baseball fan that can't help but get giddy over prospects, we have the podcast for you. Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by minor league play-by-play voice Aram Layton, is the only daily podcast devoted entirely to the stars of tomorrow. From team-focused farm system breakdowns, prospect rankings, and interviews with some of the brightest up-and-comers in the game, Locked On MLB Prospects is the best way to stay plugged in on the future of your favorite team. Subscribe today wherever you get your pods. And make sure to subscribe here to Locked On Orioles if you haven't already, and give us a rating and a review if you can. It really, really helps out the podcast. I wanted to thank you guys. We said this a couple of weeks ago. We've upped it again. Last week was the biggest week as far as downloads and listenership goes in the history of the Locked On Orioles podcast, and that is all you guys continuing to listen. So keep subscribing, keep commenting and rating if you can. Keep listening. The content's going to get better and better as we roll through spring training into the regular season. And again, we are back to daily, every day, Monday through Friday. We'll have you episodes right here on the pod. And tell your friends about it, Orioles fans, you know, to listen to the podcast. Feels like I think we're the only place who is giving you daily content on the Orioles that you can listen to in 30 minutes or less every single day. And speaking of that, we will be back with you tomorrow, where we will start our series of AL East crossover episodes. We're going to do one per week every Wednesday leading up to opening day. And tomorrow we will start with the team that the Orioles will play on opening day, the Boston Red Sox, who finished behind the Orioles by a game in the AL East standings in 2020. Are the Red Sox going to be back to winning, or will they struggle again No Betts, no Benintendi, no Bradley in that outfield. Chris Sale still injured. A lot of pitching questions for them. We're going to talk about all of that with Gabrielle Starr tomorrow. She is the host of Locked On Red Sox here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And we will have a crossover episode with Gabrielle and I coming at you tomorrow. But until then, this has been the Locked On Orioles Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.